Well, this is the second session of The Condition of Our Hearts. And I'll get straight into the teaching. Just to reflect on the previous recording, though, that when God disciplines us, it's just because he loves us. He treats us as sons. And it's really his heart to see our hearts soft and in a place where we can listen to his voice and be led by the Spirit. And of course, Jesus was a perfect example of this. He says in his word, "I only do what I see my Father doing." He'd go away on his own and pray to tap into what Father God was asking him, requiring of him to do, spending time being refreshed. And Jesus, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, "If it's possible, take this cup from me." But his heart was, you know, "I don't want this to happen to me, but not my will, but yours be done." And so we see in Jesus a fantastic example of the types of heart that we need to have. And the word of God is very, very clear. It divides between light and darkness. Everything in our lives we saw last time is uncovered and laid bare before him to whom we must give account. And we saw that we're to guard our hearts because it determines the course of our lives. Now, in today's session, we're going to move on. And Ezekiel 11:19 says, "And I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I'll take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender and responsive heart." And what the Lord's wanting to say to us in all of this, he just wants to get into our understanding and thinking that there's an ongoing transformation in our lives we should be aware of. Grace and mercy, the blood of Jesus, forgiveness, brings us into a new life. It doesn't bring us into a car park. It brings us into a new life, a journey with him, where he's at work in our hearts and lives to the degree that we cooperate with and submit to that, so that we fulfill his plans and purposes for us and know him. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit." Different theologians say different things on this, but some say we've been saved, we're saved, and we're being saved. It's like that ongoing work and process in our life. So again, the emphasis here is, let's not park up. Let's not just think, "Well, I'm forgiven, I'm saved, I'm born again, I go to church." Whatever. Not that heart attitude, but an attitude that says, "God, I want a soft heart where I'm listening to your Spirit." Jesus said, "I only do what I see my Father doing." Spending time with the Lord, worshipping in spirit and in truth, so that we're sensitive to him. In other words, to be sensitive to the Lord is to have a soft heart, if you like, a soft, renewed nature. So when we're born again, there is an ongoing work in our hearts. You know, sometimes someone can have been saved for 30, 40, 50 years, but someone who's been saved for 4 months can almost overtake them spiritually, if we can put it like that, in that one heart is just, "Okay, I'm saved and not sensitive to the Spirit, knows a lot about God, but doesn't really know God." Whereas the other one is, "God, I want to know you. I want to know you in your glory and holiness. I want to be aware of you working in my heart. Change my heart." And that type of person is someone that recognizes they can't change themselves. But the changing of our hearts is a work of the Holy Spirit within us. And we'll unpack some of that in later sessions. Now, we're going to look at Psalm 51 and 1-12 today, talking of an ongoing work in our hearts. King David, of course, it's said in Scripture that he was a man after God's own heart. God, what an accolade to be called a man, woman, after God's own heart. But he messes up. Don't forget, God had used him. He was a worshipper. He used to play the harp when he was a shepherd. He used to defeat lions. This is the David who conquered Goliath, who said, some fight with sword and stone, but I come in the name of the Lord. He knew God. And yet here he is in his life saying, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions and wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what's evil in your sight. So you're right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones you've crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. And here it comes. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Who's doing the creating? God. Who's he doing it to? David. Who creates in us? God. Who does he do it to? Us. O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And before I forget to say, I just want to emphasize this thing. Even when you hear the word of God, it's impossible to change yourself. Like New Year's resolutions, they last a few days at best. You know, it's the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and lives that brings the change. And that's humbling because therefore we have nothing to boast in. You know, if you used to be an angry person, you pray, God, would you change my heart? Would you make me gentler, softer? You can't go around boasting, oh, I'm less angry than I used to be. You know what? You just say, God, I know that as a work of your Spirit within me. So God is at work in us, changing us from one degree of glory to another. And that takes a pressure off of us, as long as we yield to the working. And he says, Father God, I cannot change myself, but I recognize my sin. Lord, I recognize my transgressions. I recognize that's wrong in my life. I recognize it. Lord, would you forgive me, cleanse me and create in me? And so again, just to emphasize, our weakness doesn't matter. When we are weak, God can be strong. And recognizing our weakness, not being negative about ourselves, but recognizing our weakness opens up the door for God to come in his strength and changes. So there's another whole sermon series on that subject alone, but let's stick to point for now. Now, David here says, against you, you only have I sinned. Well, let's unpack that a little bit. He actually committed adultery with Bathsheba and had Uriah, her husband, killed. And yet here he's saying, against you, you only have I sinned. He wasn't saying, I haven't sinned against Uriah and Bathsheba. But primarily what he's actually saying is that the reason I've sinned against you, God, is that I allowed corruption to come into my heart, and therefore I did what's evil in your sight. Lord, I need you to come and teach me wisdom in the inmost place. This particular translation says, yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. But it actually, a better version is, you require truth in the inmost part. Transparency. Don't forget, we saw last time, God can see into and through absolutely everything. And what David is actually saying is, God, ultimately, my life's before you. Do you remember when I said last time, you'll give an account for your life, how you've treated others, not how others have treated you? And David got this very thing in his heart. It's, God, ultimately, whatever I do, whatever the effect on other people, ultimately, this is between me and you. I've sinned unto you. I've sinned. Lord, my heart got to a place where I didn't honour you enough and respect you enough that I was prepared to go and sin and do my own thing. And whenever we sin and whenever our hearts are hardened, it can feel like a crushing. And our joy and gladness in the Lord just goes. But David had it right when he was praying, and he says, basically, the fruit of my sin and hardening of my heart has been my spirit's crushed. I'm guilty. All the natural things that have actually happened through that and the pain it's caused. But Father God, I'm coming to you and I'm dealing with the real issue. The real issue wasn't what I did. The real issue was the heart behind what I did. Because, of course, a hardened heart will cause us to make all crazy decisions. It could have been anything. It could be anything for you and me. The issue isn't the issue. The heart's the issue. The issue obviously has effect and has consequences, but that's not the real issue. That issue's only there because the key issue of the heart hadn't been dealt with. And so David here says, cleanse me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you've crushed rejoice. And hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. I praise God for conviction and that we don't have condemnation. We're going to look at that as well at some point in all of this. Because it's important to know when God's dealing with our hearts, it's not in condemnatory way, for there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, but it's to bring conviction to keep us in the right place. But David had it right when he said, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. When we are aware of our sin, if you're soft to God, conviction is the Pinocchio on your shoulder. Of course, Jiminy Cricket was Pinocchio's conscience, wasn't he? And creating me a pure heart. But when we sin, it can feel crushing, just like God's not around. I mean, you're not in the presence of God any longer. He hasn't stopped loving you, but you're just not aware of his presence. You feel horrid inside. Your confidence goes. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. I find that if I let God down or I fail, I don't feel as steadfast or confident or sure because there's conflict between me and God. So I need to get it right. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. This is the heart of David, of course, because he'd known God. He was a worshipper. He knew how to overcome giants. Hallelujah. And he's saying, God, the most precious thing that the wrong things I did in my heart has caused is a sense of loss of your presence. I recognize it's my heart that did that. But God, what I can't stand is not walking closely. Maybe some Christians aren't bothered about that. Some Christians might not be bothered whether they know the presence of God or not. Well, I'm very bothered about it. I want to know, you know, the things that in prayer we have to overcome and deal with, the lives we need to seem changed and all of that that come from prayer. I need to be confident that my weakness doesn't matter and that my strength is in the Lord. Don't restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So I've just written here, you see from David's heart, the issue wasn't the issue. The issue happened because of a different issue that his heart was wrong. Now, praise God, he's the Redeemer. He's the Restorer. He's the Forgiver. Once we come through the blood, he's the one that says not guilty. But sometimes we need to, I believe, to know how awesome the blood and the mercy and the grace is, we need to know how awful the sin is in God's sight. There is nothing casual in our sin. Jesus didn't die casually. It cost him his life. The sky went dark. You know, the heavens shook. And praise God that for redeeming grace. But we need to know what that redeeming grace cost him. So let's just summarize today. So our hearts and minds are an ongoing process. I think it's in the Greek that the two hearts and minds, it's like the inner being, it's the two working together, you know, it's the same thing really. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you know, and that ongoing work in our inner being. Our hearts are the control center of our decisions. You know, if you decide this day whom you will serve, in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. David decided in his heart to go and sin. David decided in his heart to go and get renewed and sorted with God. The control center of our decisions is our heart. That new heart God's given us is a corruptible. It can be corrupted. Hence, And it can be hardened. Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. That's the person hardening. They're saying, God, I'm hardening my heart because I'm refused to listen to you. You might not word it like that, but your actions are refusing to submit to the plans and purposes of God, or obedience to him through his word in some way or another, is a sign that's actually what you're doing. We sin when we give into temptations because we've decided in our heart that's what we're going to do. And of course, David was so honest with God. He says, against you, you only have I sinned. I know my transgression and my sins always for me, saying guilty. God, I'm guilty. You know, a soft heart won't say there's nothing ever wrong with it. There's an ongoing transformation process. But it's when God shows us, excuse me, that there's an issue to be dealt with. A soft heart will say, yes, Lord, you're right. I have sinned. Now, please change my heart. We had a conversation recently with someone in the situations God's been working on us as a church with this stuff. And they said, oh, I must have such a bad heart because I've just realised this. And I said, no. The fact you're responding to God and coming to obedience, now you realise it, shows you have a soft heart towards him. Isn't that wonderful? The enemy wants to beat us up even when we're doing the right thing. And I was able to encourage that person and say, no, we'll always have things that God's wanting to change and do. We don't focus on that. We focus on him, and he comes along as a vine dresser and points things out, and we respond to him. But nevertheless, it's important that we realise that God will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. That's a promise in scripture. So anytime we sin, it's no one else's fault. It's a decision we have made in our hearts. And it's important we decide that no one else is in control of our hearts. You know, people nowadays so often say things like, you've offended me. Oh, man. You've offended me. Well, you've chosen to be offended. I mean, I don't go around deliberately being unkind or acting in an offensive manner. But the reverse of that is I will not let people offend me. They can be as offensive as they want or say whatever, but I'm not going to let them control my emotions and my thinking. I will just forgive them. That's what Jesus says, forgive. I haven't let offense come onto me. When someone says, you've offended me, you're basically saying, well, you've allowed yourself to be offended. And that's another big subject all on its own. But what I'm saying is no one else is in control of my life. I take responsibility for my walk before God. I'm responsible for the decisions I make. The Bible clearly says that. And it's not that we don't need others to support us and encourage one another and stand with us and help us through things. But nevertheless, I refuse to say, well, anything that happens to me, I'll become a victim of it. I'm a child of God and a victor in Christ Jesus. Another big subject. They keep coming out, don't they? But we sin when we give into temptations because that's what we've decided to do. That is why we need to ask God to change our hearts. And next time we'll see that and unpack this whole thing that sometimes we don't know what's going on in the hearts until God shines his light in our hearts. But for this session, God's made the point. David, a man who knew God, a man who walked with God, a man who God used to kill giant, to go the Goliath, of course, a man who knew how to worship, a man after God's own heart, his heart was still susceptible to going off track. And so what we're wanting to see in this session is, you know, there's a scripture that says, if you think you're standing tall, full of pride, be careful you don't fall. If you think you're standing tall, be careful you don't fall. Walk, act justly. I tell you, this is what I require of you. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. If you will keep your heart soft and humble, or ask God to keep it soft and humble, if you'll be a teachable person, if you'll be a person that, like David says, look, hands up, guilty. I know I've got this one wrong. God, I need you to create in me a pure heart. Then you're on track for some wonderful things to happen in your life. After all, God knows it's an ongoing process, and God knows nothing in our hearts and lives can be hidden from him. And in the next session, we're going to be looking at what happens when we encounter God and what can that actually can do to us inside. So, Father God, thank you for this second session. Thank you. Your word is powerful, living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. I'll just pray for every person listening to this that you'll continue to speak into our hearts. Maybe you want to say, Lord, I've had a hard heart, soften my heart. Maybe you're aware there's been sin in your life. And today God's unfolded the fact that, like David, it happened not because he hadn't loved God or stuff before, but he just made a decision in that heart that had dire consequences. It robbed his joy, his freedom. But you know what? He came to God. And you can come to God this morning through the blood of Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, forgive me, cleanse me for that sin, cleanse me, wash me. I don't want to be out of sorts with you any longer. I want to come back to you today and know the joy of my salvation again and a willing spirit to sustain me. You may be somebody that you've become a victim because, I mean, out there nowadays, we're told, you know, you've done this to me, you've done that, you've done the other, and you've just got sucked into the world's crazy way of thinking about that. But that's not God's way. You're my beloved. If you're born again, spirit-filled believer, you're called, you're chosen, you're washed in the blood. Forgive. Let me heal you. Be free. You only hurts your unforgiven ones. It's easy to say that. I know hurt is painful, but I've had to work through enough of my own. But I know God brings me through and heals and restores me so that I can be at peace with him again. I'm not responsible for what others do to me, but I am responsible for how I stand before God. God, I come back to you today and I stand at peace. None of that stuff from my past can have any hold on me. I stand before you, a victor, washed in the blood. And I give you all the glory, honor and praise. In Jesus' name. And again, if you have any questions on this or any things you'd like, some prayer support, you can get in touch with us on our website. Surprisingly enough, it says get in touch. So God bless you and look forward to the next session.